The lesson tonight will be from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Are you glad that your name has been written in the book of life? Are you glad that your sins have been washed away? Before the foundations of the world, God chose to save man by extraordinary means. God decided in the very beginning that man was worth being saved. For those of us sitting here tonight, for most of us, God has sanctified us. He has called us, and he gave us a glorious inheritance of heaven. As one old preacher had said at one time, we are true blue, sin-killing, blood-bought, sold-out, spirit-filled, children of God. And while the readers 2,000 years ago in Thessalonica of Paul's letter had a little bit better understanding of some parts, we get a bigger perspective than what those folks were able to have at that point in time. The message that Paul had told these brothers, and by virtue of us having those letters, even to us today, to hold on to the gospel that was taught by about Christ, to let no one deceive us, and not to be fooled by every wind of doctrine that may come. The world wants to consider us as being old-fashioned, and yet the gospel, while it is not new, it is still certainly well-established by our eternal God. And while it may be old, it is still fresh and living and just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. Yes, the world is going to tell us that we are irrelevant. And if they base that on their desires of the flesh, we are irrelevant. But the life that we live, the gospel that we teach and preach, and the Jesus that we serve are diametrically opposed to what the world is all about. One thing is certain, that eventually the world will be destroyed and everything that is in it. Satan and all of his demons will be cast into the lake of fire, and those who refuse to accept the truth will be there with them. And it won't be for a short while, it will be forever. But the salvation that we have, and the gospel that we live by, and the Holy Spirit that is within us, will live forever. And we need to thank God for what he has done for us. Now, God did not say that before the foundations of the world that when Dennis Strine was born that he was going to automatically be saved. There are many feel-good passages, and I personally like to read the ones about the blessed calling of God to me and to us. These passages cause some folks difficulties. But in the full context, it seems very clear to me. God calls. I choose to listen and obey. And then God saves. When Peter used the keys to the kingdom, recorded in Acts chapter 2, we read here of a sermon in Acts 2, a sermon of conviction. Convincing people that sin took Jesus to the cross. Convincing people that God raised him up from the dead. And there were those in that multitude of people that were there on that day when they heard this sermon that they were convicted. And by it, the Bible tells us that their hearts were pricked. In other words, they were cut right down to the bone. It led them to ask what they needed to do in order to be saved. And many of you know Peter's response to that in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise was for them and for everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. God is calling every sinner to be saved. And God's calling was universal through Christ. I know that because of what Jesus himself said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, the calling of God is universal, and it started on that day in Pentecost with 3,000 souls. But time went on, and God's calling was to everyone. So the gospel message was carried to a Gentile by the name of Cornelius. His account we find in Acts chapter 10. And there were very few Gentiles up until that point who could match the devotion that Cornelius had. But God wanted to impress upon Peter and the Jewish Christians that the gospel was for everyone. It was an all God's calling. And the man God chose to bring the first fruits of Christianity to the Gentiles was a Jew by the name of Saul. God chose him to be a vessel, to be an instrument to the kings and to the Gentiles, and also to Jews. Paul took the message on missionary journeys that first went into Galatia and then on into Europe. And the brethren that resided in Thessalonica at the time were part of the first fruits of Christianity in Macedonia. God has chosen us for a reason. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, that we may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find here the idea of participating in the glory of Christ, the glory that was seen in his life while he was on this earth, as he spent his 3 years proclaiming God's kingdom. We see that glory in his suffering and his death on the cross. The glory was seen in the power of the resurrection. And that power was also extended to many of us in our resurrection, that we were able to bury the dead man of sin and gain new life. And that glory will again be revealed once again when our Savior comes to claim his own. I hope and pray that each of us are holding on dearly to the joy that we have in our salvation and in the joy of the knowledge that God is faithful. But we also need to hold on to the truth. Our society today is trying to redefine what truth is. They want us to believe that there are many truths, that there is absolutely no absolute truths. And listen to what Paul writes in verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold on to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Are we grounded in God's word? The answer is basically we should be. And hopefully we can say to ourselves, yes, I am. Because there's an old proverb that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But there's another proverb out there that I like much better. It's better to build a fence at the edge of the cliff than the hospital at the bottom of it. We need to be able to hold on to that truth, because those truths can keep us from becoming sick. The best way to prevent those things and error is to teach the truth. I don't think I need to say it's no secret that we need to study more. Our classes and lessons need to be more than just a discussion of feelings. But we need to use them to be able to search for truth and putting those truths into our everyday lives. A question. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? We don't seem, as Christians in this present age, to push ourselves very hard. If I was to ask you, and even to ask myself, and maybe this is something that we need to kind of roll over in our minds weekly, maybe even daily, but can each of us teach someone from the Bible what a person needs to do in order to be saved? Can we do that and teach them what they need to do to be able to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? And what they need to do to be forgiven of their sins? For you see, that's exactly what the apostles and other Christians in the early church did. And while the apostles established churches here and there, it was the members of those congregations that helped the churches to grow. Paul was only in Ephesus for 3 years, and yet the church continued to grow. But eventually they would start straying from the truths. And only one church in the 7 churches of Asia were given kudos and did not have issues with Christ. Paul is telling the brethren in Thessalonica to stand firm and to hold on. He didn't want to see them being shaken by false teachings. He didn't want to see them being worried unnecessarily by the second coming, thinking they were going to miss it. He didn't want them to be shaken by the man of lawlessness, Satan himself. But he wanted them to stand firm, to hold on, and know what the truth is. I hope and pray that you examine every doctrine that we teach in these four walls. Not only with what I teach, but also with what is being taught by others in our classes. And when you have the truth of God revealed through the fullness of God's word, hang on tight. Don't let it go, and stand firm. This church in Thessalonica, they had to, for themselves, determine the truth. They had a couple of things going for them. they knew Paul. And they had letters from Paul. But even with all of those things, they had to decide for themselves if they would live by that understanding or listen to a different voice. And the same thing holds true to us. Children, you sit here today with your parents. And you sit in your Bible classes and you hear God's Word being taught by degrees, starting with the extremely basic and working your way up as you get older into more difficult subjects. But the truth of the matter is, and sometimes it comes a lot more quickly than we as parents would like, but one of these days you're going to be on your own. And you are going to be subjected to many interpretations and to many slants that will be contrary to what you were taught when you were younger. And eventually, you are going to have to decide what voice you are going to listen to. Don't let it be mine, but let it be God's calling. Listen to Him. I wish I could say, without a shadow of a doubt, for Christians today and in the future, that there, at least in this world and in our lifetime, there will be a light at the end of the tunnel. That Christianity will gain a foothold in this world and will once again become the norm. That Christians throughout the world would be respected and honored. And that when someone asks you about yourself and you say, I'm a Christian, that they don't demean you in those ways and look down on you. But that will not happen. For 2,000 years it has not happened. And we will constantly be a disdain to the world. But our light at the end of the tunnel comes on that last great day. And it will be worth it all when we endure. If we hold on to those truths, if we hold on to God's word and His calling, then we will be assured that that light will come to fruition for each of us and that it will not lead to eternal darkness. If you are not a child of God, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have not repented of your sins and confessed that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the true Son of God, not had your sins washed away in this watery grave, we want to give you the opportunity tonight. And if you are a Christian and if you have strayed from the truth, you allowed outside influences to clog your thinking, to cloud your life, we want to give you the opportunity to blow away the clouds of confusion, to be able to return to the one who called you to begin with through His word. If there's anyone that has a need this evening for the invitation, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.